Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. It is Monday once again, and a hot one at that. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us on tonight's program, the NAACP booing Mitt Romney last week. I'll be joined by one of the organization's leaders tonight to tell me what they liked about Mr. Romney and what, if anything, is President Obama doing wrong when it comes to Black America. And Michigan congressional incumbents have an over 4-to-1 campaign funding advantage over their challengers. So do those trying to unseat them have any chance at all? I'll be joined by the head of the Michigan Campaign Network to tell me about their newly released report. But first, a Seventh Circuit Court judge in Genesee County today deciding that the Department of Human Services has until August 10th to process over 5,000 remaining applications for cash assistance from people whose benefits were ended due to a 60-month federal limit. The rule coming after the Saginaw-based Center for Civil Justice filed a motion to hold the DHS in contempt of court. Terry Stengel is the group's executive director. She joins us now. Terry, thank you for taking some time to talk to us on WILS this evening.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, the DHS issued a press release this afternoon stating that the judge refused your motion to find the department in contempt of court. So what is your take on the ruling? Is this the result you were seeking?
Well, what the judge did is he did not make a ruling. He set a firm deadline that the department had to follow. And that's fine with us, because our goal is not to hold the department in contempt. Our goal is to make sure the families have their applications processed and get the benefits paid. What the judge also said is that the department must file an affidavit by August 10th certifying that they have given decisions and benefits to all those who are eligible. And if afterwards there will be a hearing on August 20th if they do not do that. Revisit the question.
I see. Well, the issue is that the state's Family Independence Agency program, I guess it uses both state and federal funds. So what exactly is happening here? People have used up 60 months, 5 years of basically funding on this program. And how is the state law allowing them to have more than that?
The state law started counting months in 2007. And the state law says that certain very vulnerable families, like where there's a very severely disabled child, those months of benefits don't count against the family. There's a few exceptions. And that's what the state legislature did. What the department did was to pass its own rule through a policy that looked at months going all the way back to 1996 and has absolutely no exemptions. And so the overall case has been asking for the courts to rule on the legality of that. What the hearing today was simply about when the circuit judge originally made its decision, did the families who were supposed to get benefits then have their applications processed the way that they should have been?
I see. Now, in these circumstances where you have a severely disabled child, is there still any kind of a limit on the program?
We've talked to dozens of families who have very disabled children who can no longer get cash assistance ever again because they received more than 60 months between 1996 and now 2011. So the way the department has interpreted this, they can never get cash ever. The state law would allow such families, if they had medical documentation of their child's needs, and most of those childs are on disability benefits, they could continue to get help if they needed it.
So in most cases, then, how many more months do families typically are eligible for beyond the 60-month federal limit?
Well, different families are in different situations. I mean, nationally, the vast majority of people on assistance only receive it for a total of a few years in their lifetime. That's what the national trend is. What we've seen in recent years is because of the job market that many families have difficulty finding work, and if they get it, it's temporary, it's part-time, or it's low wage, and it's not necessarily enough to move them completely off of welfare.
I'm talking to Terry Stengel. She is the executive director of the Center for Civil Justice. Now, in terms of the amount of time left, I mean, if the ruling is or the decision is that they have more months, I mean, could families just have maybe 4 or 5 more months of assistance available to them?
Well, as I said, it depends on the family. Many of these families, the months that they had that counted against them might have been before 2007, and then they got jobs and they got off, and now they've just gotten back on because they lost a job. But all that time back in the 90s or in the early 2000s would still count against them under the 60-month rule.
So each
family is a little bit different, and the whole question about how many months they can get is still up in the air because the whole matter is in the appeals courts.
But just to be clear, they've all these people that have been cut off have at some point in time had at least 60 months of federal assistance.
Right, and you have to realize that could mean that they only got $10 in that month. It doesn't mean they got a full grant. If you only get $10 of federal money, that counts as a full month.
So what led to DHS making this decision to move forward with this policy? I mean, is it essentially a matter of finances and saving some state money?
That is what it appears to be, but they would have to answer that question.
Well, how would you describe the strategy that Director Maura Corrigan and DHS officials have taken when it comes to addressing wasteful program spending by DHS?
Well, I think that there's certainly always room to look for waste, and nobody wants to see fraud, and we certainly don't condone fraud. But what we're finding is the families that we've been talking to, these are families that are not committing fraud. Most of the families we've talked to, in order to get their application processed, have to go to work programs. And all of these families have for weeks been going every single day to their local work program without getting a dime because they both want jobs and they need that little bit of help for their kids. So the folks that have come back on really do need the help, and they're doing everything they can to pull their weight to become self-sufficient.
Okay, so just to clarify then, the DHS basically looked at the 60 months going back to 96, and the proper way to look at it, the court is saying, is to go back to only 2007?
That's what we've been arguing in the courts. Yes, the state legislature passed a rule, passed a policy that, you know, that started in 2007. That's the state law. And our position all along is when the legislature passes a law, that should be the law of the state.
I see.
As opposed to the state policy.
The court's decision, though, was to agree. Who has the court agreed with in terms of that, the framing of the argument?
Well, the circuit court agreed with us, and the circuit court said that DHS did not pass its policy through state rulemaking, which is normally the way agencies pass, you know, official rules that apply to them. The Court of Appeals said that they thought the state could use the 60-month rule because they thought that federal law required Michigan to do that. And we disagree with that and plan to appeal that, but that was the basis for the Court of Appeals ruling. The Court of Appeals also said that generally Michigan has to pass a rule using rulemaking. And there's some questions about whether that had to be done in this case, but those will not be resolved until we find out if the Michigan Supreme Court takes this case on appeal.
But don't state departments set rules of their own? I mean, just by the nature of the work they do, I mean, they don't always go through the legislature to put rules in place, do they?
That's true. But when you're dealing with something of this scale that affects this many people with basic benefits, the Court of Appeals looked at it and said, under the State Administrative Procedures Act, this kind of thing normally would have to be done through administrative rulemaking, and that there's a narrow exception.
I see. Now, basically, now the DHS has till August 10th to complete reviewing these 5,000 applications. Is it just basically, I mean, is the ruling just meaning that they're going to work a little faster, or do you expect anything else to come from this ruling?
Well, they have been ordered to process all these cases. Now, how many months of benefits these folks are going to get will depend on what happens in the appeals. This might be a one-time source of money for them based on the circuit court decision, depending on what happens in the appeals.
I see.
So it's not a guarantee that the benefits are going to continue, you know, ongoing.
I see. And families that are removed from this Family Independence Agency program, is there any fallback program, or is that it?
No, there is not. There is food assistance, which can only be legally spent on food. There is medical assistance, which gets paid to the doctors. But in terms of a source of money to pay ongoing for rent, utilities, bus fare, all that kind of thing, there is no other source of money unless somebody's been found seriously and permanently disabled.
And what's happened? I mean, do we know how many families have been affected since this initial rule by DHS and what they've been doing since then?
Well, initially it was 11,000 families, and now I believe it's up to more like 14,000 or 15,000 families that are subject to the 60-month rule. We do know that as a result of the circuit court order, approximately 2,000 families who would have been cut off did not have their benefits cut off.
One last thing, over the monthly assistance, how much is it?
It varies by the family size and whether they have any other source of income. So,
range?
It's usually for like a two people, it might be, $400 a month approximately. It is not a large amount of money.
Terry Stengel, Executive Director of the Center for Civil Justice. Terry, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
We'll be right back to talk about Michigan incumbents, congressional incumbents, and just how much more money they have when it comes to their campaigns as compared to their challengers. And do their challengers stand any chance of winning? We'll find out next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.